Please note that the service is being recorded and the entire service recording will be available on the password protected member page on our website. Our prelude is Flight of the Bumblebee by Rimsky-Korsakov, performed by Amber. Welcome, everyone, to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. Whether you're connecting via Zoom or here in person, we are one community today, united in love and purpose. I want to extend a special welcome to our guest speaker, Olivia Hosley. Thank you for coming. And there's another guest that will be introduced later. My name is Robin Proud. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I have been a member of Prairie for 23 years. I am on the program committee, and I do work with our children in religious exploration, where we hope to make our recent play an annual event. We welcome all of you to our service, especially those of you who are seeking a kindred community. Many of us were once, too, seeking for something larger than ourselves to which we could belong. A sense of rootedness to hold us as we create meaning together. We do that well here, though not perfectly. In this congregation, we strive not for perfection, but for authenticity and connection. Whether it's your first time with us or your 100th time, we hope that you'll find here questions that stretch you, people to befriend you, and values that challenge you to join us in loving boldly, living justly, and welcoming openly. Our opening music everyone will participate in, it is Talk to the Animals from Dr. Doolittle by Brickhus, accompanied by Amber. The lyrics are in your order of service. And if you would like to, please rise in body or spirit.
Thank you.
the mic. Oh, there we go. Today's story for all ages is Pets by Melrose Cooper, illustrated by Yumi Hayo, read by our Director of Religious Exploration, Karen Deaton. And if the children or anyone else want to gather any closer, feel free to do that.
Yeah? All right. Okay. So this book has lots of different kinds of pets it talks about. And when there's a kind of pet that you have at your house or that you know at a friend's house, raise your hand. This is true for everybody. Okay? So let's hear about these pets. This little kid here is thinking, what pet can I get? I'm not quite ready yet. Let me think. Let me see. It's all up to me. A small pet? Anybody have a small pet?
I have a cat.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
How about a tall pet? How about a curled in a ball pet? A furry pet?
Yeah.
A purry pet?
Yeah.
A skitter and scurry pet?
No.
Yes and no.
Sleek pets?
Sometimes.
Slick pets? Do amazing trick pets? Yeah, there's monkeys doing tricks. Pawing pets.
Yes.
Cawing pets. Like a bird.
We used to have a bird.
Heeing and hawing pets. What kind of animal would that be that hees and haws?
Donkey.
Yeah, a donkey.
We have a horse.
Floppy pets. Hoppy pets. Seed dropping sloppy pets?
No.
I see who has birds. What pet can I get? 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 Squeaking pets? Speaking pets? Ouch! Finger tweaking pets? See, there's a crab, a hermit crab. Kissing pets?
No.
Hissing pets.
No. Yes.
Even tail missing pets.
No.
Chirping pets.
No.
Burping pets.
No.
Sloshing and slurping pets.
No.
Tiny pets.
No.
Shiny pets. Prickly and spiny pets.
No.
Look at that. What do you think this is?
Hedgehog.
A porcupine or a hedgehog. Round pets?
No. Yes.
Crowned pets?
What?
This bird has feathers and a crown.
No.
Coiling around pets?
Nope.
Do you count cats at all?
Neighing pets? Laying pets?
No.
There's the chicken owners. Kneeling and praying pets?
What?
Those are praying mantises. No. They're bugs that look like they're kneeling and praying.
But they don't.
They don't. They're not really praying. I don't think they are either. Feathered pets?
No.
Tethered pets?
What?
That's like a pet that's tied up on a leash. Uh-huh. All kinds of weather pets who like going outside, even in rain or snow. A young pet? An old pet? A have and to hold pet? Mm-hmm. A happy as can be pet? A perfect for me pet? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the story, but we're all staying here today. Because you're going to be meeting an animal in a little while. First, we're going to hear about all the work the Humane Society does. So we're going to just kind of listen quietly for a while. And then we get to meet the snake.
Oh, there we are. Thank you. Our presentation is all about the Dane County Humane Society by Olivia Hosley. Olivia is the humane educator at the Dane County Humane Society. She attended UW-Madison to study zoology and environmental studies. She's worked at the shelter for almost 3 years, and she helps run all their non-camp paw print education programs. Please welcome Olivia.
I'm so sorry to interrupt. Steve is trying to park his van out front in the handicap space. Could someone with the white Prius move their car up just a few feet so he can get his van in? He's having trouble finding other place. White Prius parked in front of the church on that street, Crawford.
Can I move this?
Yeah.
Okay, can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Hi. My name is Olivia. Thank you so much for having me here today. I am going to talk to you guys a little bit about what we do at the Humane Society. And then I brought a really special pet with me, too, that you guys are going to get to meet and hang out with a little bit. So I'll tell you all about him in just a sec, okay? But first, we're going to talk about the shelter. So if you want to go to the next slide. Perfect. So has anyone been to the Humane Society? Raise your hands. Okay, a lot of us. Awesome. So if you have, this building should look familiar. This is our current facilities that we have for our shelter. The Humane Society is actually over 100 years old. Can you believe that? It's super old. It actually started in someone's basement. So in 1921, the then mayor of Madison, his wife, started the very first Dane County Humane Society, and they just were collecting stray animals in their basement. Which is a lot of work, right? But they found out really fast that there are a lot of animals in our area that need help. So around the 1960s, they moved to a different shelter that was still smaller than this one on Pennsylvania Avenue in Madison. And then finally, in the year 2000, we moved to this big one. And now we have lots and lots of space, which is really great.
Different animals that need help.
Yeah, exactly. We have lots of different space for all the different animals that need help. For sure, yeah. So we have lots of different areas, and we're actually located on 29 acres of land. So not only do we have a really big building that can hold a lot of animals, we have a lot of extra space too, which means lots of space for yards to let dogs run around. We also have trails in the woods that we can walk our dogs on. Yeah, totally. So we have lots of different areas in the main shelter. So we have stray animal housing, so kind of a section in the back of the shelter that people from the public can't view because we're checking to make sure that they don't have a home, right? Sometimes animals are just lost. They aren't a homeless animal. So we hold them in the back for a couple of days. So we have lots and lots of space to hold those animals. We also have our front office and admitting. So that's where animals are brought into the shelter. We have a whole vet clinic inside of our shelter, which is kind of unique. A lot of other shelters have to take their animals out to different vets if they need help, but we're really lucky in that we can do that inside of our building, and that means they can recover quicker and go home quicker, which is really, really good. Yeah, totally. Sometimes they have to wait a little bit until they're better. That's totally true. So we also have adoptable animal housing, so a bunch of areas where people can come view our adoptable animals and see who they might be interested in. We also have some offices and a classroom. So the friend that I brought with me, our corn snake, Jake, actually lives in the classroom. So we have a bunch of different animals that we adopted so that they could be education ambassador animals. So that's what Jake is. He's an ambassador animal. So he belongs to the shelter, and we help take care of him every single day. And we'll learn all about him in just a sec. We also have a wildlife center, which I'll talk about on the next slide. We have our felines in treatment center, which is where we can treat cats that have ringworm. So that's like a really infectious disease that cats can have. And in a shelter environment, we really can't have a super contagious disease, right? Because we have tons of animals in there. So we have to take them to a separate building, but we're still able to treat them, which is really, really good. And then finally, we have a livestock barn. So we do have space for farm animals if needed. We don't often have really big farm animals like horses and cows, but we really often, especially in the last couple of years, get tons of chickens. So we have lots and lots of chickens or roosters in our barn. And we have space for them so they can be outside. Okay, so if you want to go to the next slide, we will talk about our wildlife center. So this is a separate building. So if you've visited the Humane Society, you haven't probably been inside this building because this is where we're taking care of wild animals, so not companion animals. Yeah, exactly. So any animals that are brought into us that are injured or sick or orphaned that are wild animals that aren't able to survive on their own come to the Wildlife Center for their treatment and rehabilitation. So that means we wait until they're old enough or they're strong enough to take care of themselves again, and we re-release them back into the wild. So we don't let people from the public go in there very much. I've worked there for about 3 years. I've only been inside like twice because we try really, really hard for these animals not to get too used to humans because that can be dangerous for them when they're let back out. So there are a couple of pictures of different patients that we've had. So we can help. Yeah, we get kind of a high number of foxes, which is surprising. They're not like our most popular or most common ones that we get, but we get quite a few. What are the most common ones? That's a good question. So ducks are really, really common. We get lots of mallard ducks. We get lots of common snapping turtles. So what happens is somewhat often we have a mother snapping turtle who maybe got hit by a car or something else scary happened. If that mother is either not alive or can't take care of herself or her babies, we sometimes suddenly get like hundreds of snapping turtle eggs.
Oh, no.
So when those hatch, that means we have hundreds of snapping turtles to go hatch. So that happens sometimes, which is why it's really important to be careful, right? So snapping turtles, robins, mallards, and like eastern cottontail rabbits, so the little bunnies that we see running around, are probably our most common animals that we see. But we can help most animals that are native to Wisconsin. So they have to be from here, and they actually have to be found here. So if somebody like just over the border in Illinois found an animal and called us, we actually can't accept that animal because of all the rules. But most native animals can come in. We can't help deer, raccoons, skunks, and there's a couple of different like songbird species that we can't help that changes depending on if there's any like flus or anything like that going around. So, but most, just because that's what they're set up to take care of. So sometimes the birds change. Skunks and raccoons are rabies vector species, so we're not licensed to take care of them. They have to go somewhere different.
And we have three baby squirrels.
Yeah, squirrels we totally get a lot. Yeah, that's totally true. Oh, sure, yeah. So that is a kind of separate part from our general area. So these animals are all kept totally separate, and we release them back into the wild when they're all better. So we can go to the next slide.
What if they're
what? It would depend on if we thought they could take care of themselves still. So sometimes they aren't able to be released, right? So sometimes we have to take them other places, like a sanctuary, but usually they're okay. So now we're going to transition back to talking more about our general shelter. So that's where we have all of our companion animals. So we are what's called an open admissions shelter. That means we can take any kind of animal, regardless of how old they are or what their health or their behavior is like. So we can get lots of different kinds of animals. Most commonly, it's dogs and cats, but we sometimes get really unique ones too. So this is Dino. He is actually a tegu lizard, which I had never heard of before, and so had a lot of our care staff. So he was actually found in a parking lot in the Madison area. Can you believe that? So most likely what happened is someone had him as a pet and either just let him go or he accidentally got out. So he is not a native animal, right? You've never seen that before. He looks like a little dinosaur. So he was found under somebody's car. So luckily, I don't know if they saw him or dropped something and bent down, but they found Dino and were really, really nice, and they called us and they brought him in. So even though we had never had a Tegu lizard before, because we're open admissions, we did accept him and make sure that we knew how to take care of him and adjust. And he was adopted in 2023. I don't think so. Nope, they just brought him in, which was really, really nice, because he is not built to survive in Wisconsin, right? He's a reptile, so that would not be good for him. So he came in, and we were able to accept him. So we'll accept any different kind of animal, which is really, really cool. We get lots of different kinds. Sometimes we get scorpions. We've even gotten two baby alligators before.
What?
I know. So someone was keeping a baby alligator in their basement, which is not a good idea, right? Yeah, those are wild animals. They don't like to be inside. But because we're open admissions, we did accept them. It doesn't always mean that we're going to adopt them out to a new family, though, right? Because we don't think they should be a pet. So the alligators we accepted and took care of, they actually stayed in our dog surrender room. So one of the dog kennels just had a little baby alligator in it for a day. It was cute, but then we sent them to a sanctuary. So when you raise a wild animal in your house, they don't really know how to take care of themselves anymore. So we couldn't just go drop him off in Florida, right? He might not be able to take care of himself. So we sent him to a sanctuary, which is kind of like a zoo, kind of like a wildlife preserve. But we get lots of different cool animals. So on the next slide, this kind of gives you an overview of the more common animals that we get and also how many animals that we can have. So we can have a whole bunch of there at once. Like I said, we have a lot of space. So we don't usually have this many, right? That would be a lot, but we can if needed. So we can have, these are kind of an estimate numbers. So it depends. Like if we have a bunch of little kittens, they can be in one cat kennel, right? But if we have a big cat, that cat needs its own space. So sometimes that number changes a little. So we can hold about 130 cats when we're all the way full, about 91 dogs. We can have like 50 critters or reptiles or birds. And then we have 6 stalls in the barn. So we have a lot of space. They're not usually all filled up, right? That would mean we have way, way, way a ton of animals. We're also really lucky in that most of our animals, our cats and dogs, are with us an average of 8 to 12 days before they find a home, which is really, really good. Not too bad, just like a week. And that's not the same for a lot of other shelters. So we're really lucky that we go through them so quickly. So usually they don't fill up all the way like that. So on the next slide, our motto at DCHS is helping people help animals. So we have tons and tons and tons of people that help us take care of our animals and operate the shelter. And they're in a lot of different departments. So if you like animals and you want to grow up and work at the shelter, there's a lot of different ways to do it. So we have around 150 staff members in all the different departments and over 1,000 volunteers. So we have tons and tons of people that come in. Our volunteers come in as often as every single week for like 2 to 3 hours. So that's a lot of people helping us. Because as you know, raise your hand if you have pets at home. Yeah, it's a lot of work to take care of your pets, right? Now imagine you have 40 dogs and 40 cats and maybe a Tegu lizard and a rooster that you have to take care of. Right? Yeah, it's a lot of work. So we need lots and lots of help, which is really, really important. So we have some people that work as vets in the shelter. We have some people whose whole job is just taking care of the animals, so doing their general daily care and things like that. And we have some people who work with people more. So people who work maybe in our adoption center. They help match families with their new pets. Or someone like me who works with talking to people about the shelter. So there's a lot of different ways to get involved. So on the next slide, so this is Cannoli, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about Cannoli because he's one of our favorite animals that was adopted at the shelter. So we are really lucky. Like I said, we usually our animals are adopted out in about 8 to 12 days, right? Not too bad. Not every animal gets adopted that quickly. And we're really lucky that we are an adoption guarantee shelter. So that means any animal that's healthy and treatable can stay with us as long as they need to find a home. Because sometimes they have really specific needs, right? Or they're looking for a really specific family. And sometimes that takes a little while. So sometimes they're there a little bit longer. And that was the case for Cannoli. So he is that big chunky puppy up in that corner. So he was such a sweet dog. We all really loved him. He was, however, a puppy in a not puppy body, if that makes sense. He did not have any idea how big he was. So he would kind of barrel into you, knock you over. He would jump a lot. He would get really excited. He could sometimes get a little mouthy like a puppy. So that makes people nervous sometimes too. And when animals are in the shelter, when they're adopted into a new home, that's kind of a stressful thing to happen for the animal, right? So it's a good thing, but it means their environment changes, their routine changes, and sometimes that's really hard. So when we adopt out an animal, we usually tell their new families a 3-day, 3-week, 3-month rule. So in the first 3 days, your animal is going to be like high level stressed, really overwhelmed, and may not really be acting like themselves, right? And what that meant for Cannoli was he kind of went crazy. So he would be running around the house. If they had other animals, he might be chasing them. He might be doing a lot. And that's overwhelming for people. So sometimes what would happen is they would adopt Cannoli, bring him home, and then the first couple days they're like, whoa, this dog is so much. And they'd bring him back and say they might not be a very good fit. So Cannoli actually got adopted 4 different times and brought back. And each time we were so bummed when he came back that we actually started not even cleaning out his kennel, because we were like, okay, he might come back and we want it to at least smell like him and not smell like a new dog. And that way he feels a little bit more safe. But luckily, after about 9 months in the shelter, James, who's in the photo with Cannoli here, came in and actually wasn't even looking for a dog. I think he was just coming to visit, but he learned about Cannoli's story and was really used to really big, high-energy dogs. So he met with Cannoli, and he actually ended up adopting Cannoli. And after about a month or two of him being in his home, James contacted us and said he's never coming back in there. So he's been at James's house now since 2022, and he's happy and he's in his forever home, which is really, really great. So we're really lucky that we have the space and the resources for really cool dogs like Cannoli and other animals to wait until they find their James to go home with. I know. Yeah, so he's been there for like 3 years now. Okay, so we can go to the next slide. So our adoption center adopts out a ton of animals every single year, which is really, really great. So last year alone, we adopted out over 3,000 animals to new families, which is really, really great. We are an adopter's welcome shelter. So what that basically means is there's some rescues that might have some really specific requirements for their adopters. They might say, we have to see a bank statement, or we need you to have a fenced-in yard, things like that. We don't do that. So there's certain animals that we have where we say, we'd really like it if this dog had a yard for whatever reason. But we don't put in those barriers because we think that a home is better than being in the shelter, right? So if someone wants to take care of an animal, we don't want to stop them because they don't have a specific home set up, because that doesn't mean that they're not a good parent. So the way that works is we are a first come, first serve. So what happens is if there was an animal that you saw on our website that you were interested in meeting, if you guys came to the shelter and you were the first ones in line when we open, if you meet that animal and you like that animal, you get first dibs on that animal. So you could take them home that day, or if you need to like go set up your house, we can put them on a 24-hour hold too. So people are able to come in and get them. So we don't really like have anyone reserving animals, things like that. Okay, so the next slide, we are going to talk a little bit about some of our community services that we have at DCHS. So a little bit different. So the first one is our Pets for Life program. So that is a grant-funded program that we have that's really, really special. So we believe that a lack of resources is not equal to a lack of love for a pet, right? So we work really hard to try to keep pets in their homes for people who are maybe struggling to take care of them for whatever reason. So we have a program that offers things like free vet wellness care. We might offer supplies. We might help get their pets spayed or neutered. We also just give them more information and help. So if you go to the next slide, This program is grant funded, so we're only able to work in a really specific area. It's in the 53713 zip code right now. We would love to expand it if we're able to. But in that area, 27% of the residents are living below the poverty line, and that means, and there's also very few vet clinics or pet supply stores, which makes that area known as a resource desert. That means it means it's extra hard for them to find stuff for their animals. And we want them to keep their animals because we know that they love them. So we work with them to get them the supplies or the information they might need, and that helps them stay in their homes much longer. So we also have thrift stores. So we now have two. We have one on the west side over on Watts Road, and then we have one on the east side now on High Crossing Boulevard. So they are just like any other thrift store where there's it's not only pet stuff that's at the thrift store, but all of the revenue that we get from our thrift store goes back to DCHLS and helps us take care of our animals. And that's my dog down in the bottom visiting the store, so you can bring your dogs in. And we occasionally have adoptable kitties there, which is really, really fun. And then we also offer dog training classes. So we recommend it to all of our adopters, even if they're not a puppy, because it helps strengthen the bond between them. So we have anything from canine kindergarten, which is for puppies or puppy preschool, up to adult dog classes, even things like helping them work better on leash manners or doing better at recalling, so coming when you tell them to. So we have lots of different stuff like that to help people work with their dogs too. And then finally, our humane education programs. So we have a lot of different ways for people to get involved in the shelter. So this is one of them. This is a presentation where we go out into the community and talk to people about the shelter. We also have things like a summer camp. We do birthday parties, scout workshops, a lot of things. So not only do those raise money for our animals, they also help kind of encourage the next generation to have more empathy for animals, which is really, really important, especially for interesting animals like the one I brought with me today. So sometimes people are really nervous about certain animals, and meeting them sometimes helps change their mind a little bit, makes them a little bit kinder towards them. So I think the last slide is just a question slide. So I think what I'll do is I'll get Jake out, and then I'll tell you guys about him, and then as I'm bringing him around, if you guys have questions, you are totally welcome to ask me. So do you want me to switch to that?
How old they have to be to volunteer at that shelter?
Oh, sure. Yeah, here, let me.
Yeah. Or if they can just put it in your pocket.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Robin?
Or if they can do it with a parent?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, can you guys hear me still? Okay. All right, I'm going to get Jake out. So he's really nice. However, if you don't want him to come close to you, I will not bring him over to you. So don't worry, I won't force anybody to meet him. But he's super nice.
Do you think we should be screaming?
No. Okay, so let's have quiet voices. We don't want to scare the animals.
Yeah, we want to be, whoo. So we want to be nice and calm for him, but he's really calm too, so he'll help make you feel better. So this is Jake. He is a corn snake, so that means he's a constrictor. He is not venomous. Does anyone know what that means? What's a constrictor? Yeah?
A constructor is like a snake. It's a snake that has venom, but not poisonous venom.
So you're close. Yeah? Do you want to go?
It's a snake that kills its prey, like not using venom, but instead constricting it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah? Do you have something else you want to say? Yeah. True. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So he is not a venomous snake. He does not have any venom. Do you think I'd hand you a snake that has venom? Probably not, right? That wouldn't be very nice. So He has no venom. He is a constrictor. So like we were saying, that means he would wrap around his prey and squeeze. So he is not trying to constrict me right now. I'm way too big. He's just holding on. So he knows that he's up in the air and he's holding on to my hand. He doesn't want to fall. So he also likes how warm I am, right? So he's a reptile. So what are some special things about reptiles? What do you think?
They can't produce their own heat.
Yeah, he's cold-blooded, right? So that means that he needs his outside temperature. Oop, he's getting tangled in the mic. Hold on. Sorry. So he needs the outside temperature to stay warm in order for his insides to stay warm. So when we go outside on a really cold day and you're like, ooh, I feel so cold. You feel cold, but your inside, your blood is staying like 98 degrees, right? We're warm-blooded. His, he could get really sick if that happened. So we have to keep him really warm, which is why he stayed in his little carrier because he's got little heating pads in there that were keeping him warm. But we're kind of warm. So when you're hanging out with him, he might try to get closer to you because you're warm. Yeah?
Hold on. No one can hear
unless can I touch Jake the snake?
You will get to, yes.
He's introducing first.
So are there any other interesting things about reptiles? Or do you have a question?
I would like to say that venom is not a kind of poison. They are two very separate things.
Venom is different than poison? Yeah, that's true.
Venom has to be injected. You could safely eat it. Mm-hmm. Poison, you have to consume it.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. So he is not venomous, but if he was a venomous snake, that's what they'd do. So he doesn't have the fangs.
When are we gonna see the snake?
Well, the more
he's right here. Yeah, I know, we're getting a little off track. So he is 20 years old. Can you believe that? He turned 20 in January, and he's been with us at the shelter for about 13 years. So he is really, really used to people. He's really nice. So in just a second, we'll each get to meet him if you'd like. He is really, really cool. Yeah?
Can you adopt snakes?
Yeah, absolutely. So not Jake, because he's our snake that we adopted. But we do occasionally get snakes. We've had other corn snakes. We've had ball pythons come in before. They're not super common. So it's kind of every once in a while we get one. But we for sure do.
Do you want to start casting
sure.
Questions as you're doing
Oh, that? Yeah. That's
that
totally
might,
fine.
That might work out.
For sure.
Otherwise, we're going to
True. That's true.
Gonna touch it, I think.
So when we're holding Jake, we don't want to try to squeeze him, okay? So you see how I'm like barely even holding on to him. I'm just kind of supporting under him. He'll hold on to you. So if you think of your arms as like a little tree branch, like this, he'll just kind of hold on like this. So we don't want to squeeze him because we don't want to hurt him. We don't want to pat him a bunch, but if you want to feel him with a couple fingers, you can. You just want to go head to tail direction. We just don't want to pet really hard like with a cat or a dog. It just isn't as comfy for him.
So friends, we're going to go around and hold, and then I'll come around with the mic and answer questions. That way we'll have more time of holding. So
yeah,
we're going to start
good.
With the holding.
And we'll start with the kids, and then I'll let any adults hold them too that would like to, but you don't have to. Okay, what do you think? Should we maybe do...
So raise your hand if you want to hold. Do you want to hold? Okay, well, let's
yeah.
start with the hold.
Hold on, just a sec. So why don't you two maybe hold them together? So hold out your hands. So hold out your hands like with your palms. Can I see your palm?
Nope.
Flip them. There you go. Okay, there we go. So we want to make sure that both halves of him are supported, right? So here, this hand, do you see where my hand is? So go like this. Can I move your hand? Perfect, there you go. So we don't want to touch right by his face, partially because when you see him a little bit closer, he does have a little bit of shed still on his face. So he does shed every 6 weeks or so. And it takes a long time for it to get off by his head because the way he gets it off mostly is rubbing up against stuff, and he's not really gonna like rub his face against like hard rocks or logs, right?
I saw a question
back
here.
Yeah, exactly. Do we have another question?
Did you have a question?
What if he squeezes you? What if he squeezes you?
What if he squeezes you while you're holding them, do you mean?
So he is not strong enough to hurt you. So him squeezing is like really pretty light. So I can easily go like this and take them off so you don't have to be scared. Do you have a question too? Is that cool? Okay, I'm gonna move him so everyone gets a turn.
The snake's so cute.
He is so cute, I agree. I'm gonna come like in a line and loop around. Yeah. So I think, do you wanna see him?
Okay, questions, who, what, where, so when, how, or why? Kira, did you have a question? Do you have a question, anyone?
Will you put this hand a little further down?
I think they're waiting to wait. Well, I think the hands are waiting to hold them, is what I think. Do any adults have questions in the audience?
Oh, over here.
Jesse, you have a question?
I was wondering if there was any particular reason that you adopted him instead of adopting him out to a family.
Oh, totally. So he is, as you can see, super chill. He is like really, really nice and is really easy to handle. So when we're adopting an animal into the classroom, we're looking for one that's like really kind of easy to handle and is comfortable in that situation. Yeah, he is. So he was like so just kind of gentle that we thought he'd be a really good fit, especially because we really want the animals in the classroom to be helping people get used to animals that they're maybe not usually a fan of. So snakes, we have rats, and we have like Madagascar hissing cockroaches to try to help get people to care about them. Let's see. Do you want to try to sit maybe on the floor next door? Do you guys want to scooch just like a teeny bit so that we can share? That way we can both share.
Or you can sit on the other side of the lawn.
That's true. Yep. Do you want to see her? Do you want to hold out your hands? I'll loop back around. Don't worry.
Okay. Another question.
So Jake is 20 years old. How old do you expect him to be?
Yeah, so in captivity, corn snakes live an average of like 23 to 25 years, but there was one in a zoo that lived to be 30. So we're hoping he'll be the next one to live to 30. Yeah, that would be even better. All right, guys, you ready? Do you want to see him?
Other questions from the audience? Raise your hand. Oh, I see one, Dan.
He does feel weird, doesn't he? Yeah, he's just kind of holding on, right?
Mm-hmm. No. I have two questions.
Yeah.
First, why is it called a corn snake, and what does it eat?
Yes. So, he does not eat corn. He's a carnivore, so he only eats meat. What he's fed at the shelter is already dead frozen mice. So, like, kind of like little small baby ones. So he doesn't eat super often. He actually eats only about every week or so. And we actually have to track when he goes to the bathroom to know when to feed him. So when he goes to the bathroom twice, we know he might want a mouse. So we give it to him.
And how often is that?
It's like every like 5 or so days. It's not always exact. There was one month where he went a whole month without eating. Like we kept offering him a mouse and he kept not taking it. And he just wasn't hungry for it. And he was totally fine. Eventually he ate one. So they don't eat super often. They're called corn snakes. Either after these guys are done holding him, I'll lift him up. But his belly kind of looks like wild corn. And they're also sometimes found in cornfields. So farmers actually like to have them there because they're not eating the corn, but they're eating the mice that are eating the corn. So they're kind of like a little natural pest control.
All right, here's another question.
Here, I'm gonna lift him up really quick. But if you look at his belly, it kind of looks like wild corn. So he blends in really good. Okay, here, do you want to hold him? Kind of share.
Oh, he's so cool.
He is pretty muscly.
Do you want her to call on you?
Yeah.
Do you have corn snakes that are adoptable at the shelter right now?
That's a good question. I don't think we have any corn snakes right now. Snakes are somewhat uncommon. So really the only way that we get snakes is if someone surrenders them to us. So that's what we call it when they give them to us because they can't take care of them anymore. It's pretty rare that these guys would show up as a stray, right? So we get tons and tons of stray cats, or we get lots and lots of dogs from really crowded shelters in the South. But snakes and other kind of exotic pets are really kind of hit or miss when they're gonna show up. Do you have another question?
Are they expensive was the question. I feel like this line of questioning is going in a certain direction, Mom and Dad. You're hearing it, you're hearing it. They already know, okay.
I don't off the top of my head remember what the adoption fee is for corn snakes, but it's, I would guess, under 100.
All right, here's another question.
I'm not sure. Do you guys want to hold him? So turn.
Do y'all ever get snakes that are used to eating only live animals? And if so, then do you feed them live animals?
Yes. So we would probably try to introduce, and a lot of times it's a little bit safer for them anyway. So if we can try to transition them to not live animals so they can't get hurt, we will. If they're like refusing to eat for like weeks and weeks, I think we would switch over. It doesn't happen a lot.
This is kind of a question for you. What is it like working for the Dane Humane Society?
Yeah, I love it because I love animals and I get to spend my whole day just talking to people about animals. So it's kind of the best of both worlds on that. And I also get to bring my own dog with me sometimes to go visit people, which is really fun. But everyone that works there really loves animals and really cares about them. So it's really nice to work in an organization where everyone is doing their best to take care of them. Okay, will you let go, kiddo? You're holding him a little tight. Okay.
Let go.
Good job. Let go. Okay. Do you want to hold him?
You've mentioned that you occasionally get like cows and horses and stuff. So how does that work? I mean, they also seem like they would not be the sort of animal that you would find as a stray.
Totally. Yeah. So it's not super common. It's usually if someone owns them and they can't take care of them anymore for whatever reason, or maybe they're in a not being cared for very well situation. So when there is a horse or a cow that needs a new home, we try really hard not to bring them to our shelter. If we can help facilitate finding a new home by just putting them on our website, we will. Because it actually costs the shelter $3,000 the second a horse is like on our property because of all the special care, all the food, everything like that. So we try really, really hard. We're like, is there any other way we can do it? We will bring them in if where they were is dangerous to them. So we have had horses on the property before, but it's not super common. Because as you can imagine, it doesn't happen as often as someone needing to rehome a cat or a dog. It's kind of rare that someone needs to rehome a horse. But it does happen.
We have about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, I have a question back
here
for Ken.
You
want
to go as a group of three? You'll be okay, I promise.
It is
weird, isn't it? A lot of people think that he's going to be really slimy, and he's not, right? He's just kind of smooth. You like him? Yeah, I know.
So what relationship does the Humane Society have with groups that foster animals, take them in for periods of time? And also, do you have a relationship with groups that train helping animals, therapy animals, or helping animals.
So the what was the first part of your question about foster? Yes. Okay, so we do have. I'm gonna come this way and start bringing through. Excuse me, kiddo.
Is there a question on Zoom too after?
Okay, sorry. So we do have foster volunteers that work to get the animals out of the shelter for a little bit. We do also have a relationship with Angel's Wish, which is a cat foster / rescue. So we sometimes trade cats back and forth that way too. So a lot of it is like with our own volunteers for fostering, but we will, if needed, send them to somewhere like Angel's Wish. There's also a place up northern Wisconsin called Happily Ever After, where we'll sometimes send dogs that are with us for a super long time and it just seems like they may not be a great adoption candidate. Because that rescue is set up more like a sanctuary where they're not in a kennel. So they can still maybe be adopted. What was the second part of your question?
Therapy dogs.
Oh, yeah. So we don't have like a specific like training for that there. We do sometimes have like visitors, like from Dogs on Call and things like that, to some of our programs.
Are there any other kids that haven't? We have like 2 minutes. So yeah, if there's sorry, any other kids, you get priority. I think, Olivia, you were going to stay a little after.
Yeah,
we
I
are,
can stay.
We are going to the Maypole, but if you wanted to stick around for a minute and like pet or hold the snake, there will be a minute. Yeah, there's a question back here, okay. And we'll come up.
Sorry, do you want to?
So you mentioned your...
Just washing your hands before you eat would be ideal, right? Or like touching your face.
You mentioned the store you run, but what are your other funding sources?
Say it again, I'm sorry.
How do you raise money or how do you fund yourself?
Oh, that's a good question. So we are a nonprofit, so we don't get any money from the government, anything like that. We get a small amount for being a stray holding facility, but it's mostly donor funded. So people who make donations, there are adoption fees, things like that, but it's mostly donations that we get to help us take care of them.
Was there a question over here? Okay, question?
Yeah. Here, I'm trying to...
I need water.
What? All right. That's
a statement. Yeah, isn't he cool? Yeah, he's smelling. Yeah, so that's how he smells.
Hi there. I have a question.
He is a male.
For you?
Yes. Their body parts are inside, so you have to like pop them out to see if they're male or female.
Yeah. My question is, 40 years ago, we had garter snakes in our yard, and we don't see them anymore.
Oh.
Do you have any idea what's happened?
There definitely are still garter snakes native to here. It may be like a change in like if there's no food there for them anymore, like if mice or things like that have left. That could be something. They are still native to Wisconsin. We get a good number of them in our wildlife center. So I'm not sure. Unless there's been like changes to like the vegetation in your yard where like maybe they don't feel like they have enough places to hide.
All right, that's the end of questions. We're gonna continue. Okay. There's one more kid that's gonna hold the snake.
Okay, I had one question, Olivia, about, oh, she has a minute there. I had a question about how kids and families can get involved. Is there an age kids have to be, or if they come with their parents, can they,
yeah,
do something there?
So for volunteering, ages 8 to 12, you can be a critter cuddler with your parents. So that means any smaller animals, you can help with their care. I will say those positions are kind of hard to come by because there's a lot of kids that want to help. So I would recommend looking at the website somewhat often to see if there's something open. You have to be 16 to work with cats. And you have to be 18 to work with dogs or to volunteer in our wildlife center. So for the bigger animals, you have to be a little bit older. But there's a lot of our different humane education programs are also open to kids really any age. A lot of them are ages 7 to 12. Do you want to see him?
Hey. All right. Thank you so much,
yeah.
Olivia. Oh. Oh, and thank you to Jake. And yes, they will be around. So if someone didn't get a chance to see him up close, we'll do that. All right. It's time for our offering. We're sharing our offering this quarter with the Leopold Community Assistance Network, which helps Leopold School families in crisis with eviction prevention funds, housing entry fees, immigration resources, and other needs. And the offertory is The Little White Donkey, performed by Amber. Thank you. Thank you. And kudos to Amber and our music committee for selecting such appropriate music today. We have a few announcements. First, there were some keys, Toyota keys found out front. Have those been claimed yet? And if not, Paula was the one who was keeping track of them. Today, after the service, we have our Maypole celebration with live music. So join us on the front lawn, and for once, the weather is good. Next Sunday, before the service at 8:45, we'll have a congregational discussion. You'll have an opportunity to discuss the Financial Reserves Committee proposal. We'll be asked to vote on that at our spring parish meeting on May 18th. Next Sunday's service is Dwelling in Your Grit. It's a Good Place to Be by our pastoral minister, Mary Sue Roydebuch. And after the service, there will be a potluck, so please bring something. In 2 weeks, on May 11th, which is Mother's Day, the guys group will be serving a pancake brunch. All are welcome. And we have a couple of special announcements. Eileen has something to announce.
I have a birthday card for anyone afterward who would like to sign it for Mary Franz, who will be 102 years old this week. Mary has moved to assisted living and is extremely frail right now, but I know she will appreciate this.
Thank you. All right, there are more announcements in your order of service and the news of the week email. And were there other announcements? All right, at this time we're going to stop the recording.